from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Levis. Towards the end zone. Got a man. Touchdown.
Wow.
Westbrook Akhide. And it's the fourth TD pass of the day in the debut of Will Levis.
Will Levis. I am as interested in him as anybody this year. That was his first game. Sal, remember his first game? Didn't he have I don't have the numbers. Didn't he have a bunch of deep touchdowns, though?
Yep.
He was making headlines after that first game. We're going to talk some Will Levis, some Titans. We're going through the Bills' schedule. And now Tyler Rowland on the Wester Hotline from Locked On Titans. Morning, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on. And you're right about Will Levis. He loves to chuck the ball deep. He had the highest average depth of target in the NFL in 7 years in his start. So he loves throwing that ball down the field.
Yeah. Well, we'll get right into it on them. The Bills play the Titans in Week 7. That's a 1 o'clock Sunday game here in Buffalo. So a little closer to the middle portion of the season. I'm imagining every little thing about this season is finding out what Will Levis is for the Titans.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think all the moves that they've made in the offseason, the big-time dollars that they spent, I think it's all with the idea that we have to figure out what we have in Will Levis as soon as possible so that if he is not the guy, we can pivot and try to find the guy that we need. Because you guys know, like I know, especially with the Josh Allen experience, until you find the guy at quarterback, you're kind of just spinning your wheels a little bit. So I like what the Titans have done. Even if the moves don't necessarily work out perfectly and Levis isn't the guy, the Titans are giving themselves the best opportunity to figure out if he is that guy, and what they had last year on the O-line and the supporting cast on offense. You're just never going to be able to get a true representation of what the quarterback is in that situation. So, yeah, they spent a lot of money adding pieces, but it is all with the idea of figuring out if Will Levis can be this team's quarterback going forward.
Is he – what needs to improve for him? I've said this a couple times. I love watching him as a no rooting interest in the Titans football fan, because I feel like the Miami game is one that comes to mind where there are great plays and then there are you threw the ball right to a lineman and then there's jumping over people trying to run through linebackers. Yep. He seems like he's a crazy person out there, but I feel like that makes for at least an entertaining watch.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it might say something about me, but I love that. Compare it to an old Titans quarterback in Marcus Mariota, who had the personality of a wood plank. You know, I love seeing a little bit of energy from Will Levis. But I think when you look at what he needs to improve upon, it's obvious that he has two elite physical traits. Now, I'm not calling him an elite quarterback by any means, but his velocity on his throws, his arm strength, and then his release quickness, those are elite physical qualities that he has compared to other NFL quarterbacks. It's just the mental processing for me. Can he go through the progressions quicker? Can he figure out who the right guy to throw it to so that he can utilize that arm talent? He's just got to pick up the speed with which he goes through the offense and goes through his reads and gets to the guy who he's going to throw the ball to. But I think it's hard to say 100% that that is a weakness for him, because last year in the Titans situation, he was instructed to throw the ball down the field because the offense was so sluggish. The only chance the Titans offense had to score some points is to hopefully get a pass interference down the field, hit one of those deep shots. They weren't set up as an offense to, you know, nickel and dime teams down the field and be efficient on drives and have 11, 12 play drives. They just didn't have the offensive talent to do that. So is Will Levis too turnover prone? Is he too risky throwing passes in places? Or is he just being overly aggressive because that's the only chance the offense had to have any success? That's a question that I'm looking forward to seeing answered. But early in OTAs and some of these summer practices, we've gotten all the reports that he's a little behind. He was a little late on some throws, getting the ball to some open guys. But it is a brand new offensive system, a ton of brand new pieces on offense. If those reports are persisting through training camp, then I definitely think it's something that we need to have cautious concern about going into the season. But right now, considering what we saw last year, and if you watch the tape, the offensive line, the wide receivers, like it was just, and not to mention the offensive coaching you get from a Mike Vrabel-led coaching staff, I just think we're not in a position to even say, hey, this is a major weakness. This is, you know, something he has to work on, because we simply don't know. And that goes back to our first, you know, conversation of they put all these pieces in place because you have to figure out something. And in that environment, it's just hard to have anything concrete.
I feel like it's a team that, you know, could go one of two ways here this year, right? Because if Will Levis hits, obviously, you have enough talent wide receiver. Calvin Ridley goes there. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins is still there. But also, it's a team that maybe in transition here is going to go through some growing pains, right? Is that fair, an assessment to kind of, and especially look at the division. It's getting better. You have a lot of good quarterbacks in that division, obviously. A lot of expectations. But is that fair to kind of say, like, hey, if Levis can hit, they can be really good, or this could be a transition year. We might be looking at a team that needs to kind of wait another year before they arrive.
Yeah, and I think that might be fair. I think, obviously, in the NFL, I always say, you guys have heard it, I'm sure, it stands for not for long. Like, things can change quickly, and every year we see teams go from worst to first in certain divisions. And I think the Titans have added enough talent on offense and defense that you're right. If Will Levis hits and things click, the Titans could absolutely challenge in that division. I think the teams are better, but, you know, other than Houston, nobody's incredible to where you're like, there's no way they lose the division. And even Houston, C.J. Stroud's a first-year quarterback. We've seen this over and over, a good rookie experience, kind of come back down to earth. So I think there is a chance that the Titans could push for the division. But you're right, it all depends on if Will Levis hits. And I agree with the transition theory. I think we could even see a slow start for the Titans. I've been saying that throughout the offseason, that they could start a little slow in that first month. A ton of brand new pieces, brand new offense, brand new defensive coordinator. And I think up front, the biggest issue for the Titans was the offensive line. And while they've added new talent, they add Lloyd Cushenberry from the Broncos in free agency at center. They add J.C. Latham, number 7 overall pick in the first round of the draft. It's still a bunch of new faces on the offensive line. Left guard Peter Skoronski, first round pick from last year, still in his second year. So it's a lot of young players up front and new players up front. The Titans are starting Sadiq Charles at right guard right now, who they got in free agency from the Washington Commanders. So it may take, we may see that transition, but it may happen early in the season, and the Titans could still be a very good team by the end of the year. But yeah, if Levis is a little slow on the uptake, some of the additions they've made don't necessarily pan out right away. It could be like, hey, we made a bunch of moves this year. We threw a bunch of stuff at the wall. Let's see what sticks. And then we go into 2025, and this is the chance where we can really compete. So I think as long as Levis plays well and improves, the hope is still there, whether they make the playoffs this year or not. But if Levis is bad, then that obviously changes the calculus, and they're going to have to pivot a little bit going into next year. But I got to be honest, call it home cooking, whatever you want. I just have faith in Will Levis because of the off-field attributes, his intangibles. He's just such a hard worker. Like you say, that psychotic nature that you see on the field, that does translate to his work off the field. And the guy's just been excellent at everything. He's a scratch golfer. He was an academic all-star in high school. Like, he's hitting bombs in these softball games. Like, the guy is just great at everything he touches. So I'm hoping that does, you know, kind of rub off onto the off-field work, and he makes a big jump.
He does put mayo in his coffee, though. We also should make sure we point that out, which still can't determine if that was a joke or not.
Yeah. What's that? Yeah, he says it was a joke, and eating the banana peel. And, you know, I think, again, that TikTok generation, they just want that social media attention.
Yeah.
He mentioned that might be something that he's grown out of. So hopefully that kind of stuff stops and he can just put trophies in Tennessee instead.
Yeah. While we're on the offense, so Brian Callahan is the head coach. Do you have a good idea, or do Titans fans have a good idea of what that offense will look like, the identity? Because they've been so run-heavy, everything through Derrick Henry, play action for years. And like, they pay Calvin Ridley, but they also brought in Tony Pollard, which selfishly is a Tajay Spears fantasy owner. I don't love that, but like, they did also invest in running back. So I don't know, are they going to be more balanced? Are they still going to be a little more run heavy? Like, what do you expect on that front?
Well, I think they're going to pass the ball a lot more. I mean, Cincinnati was like the, if you look at like game neutral situations, Cincinnati was one of the heaviest pass teams in the NFL. The Titans were the second lowest team in pass rate in game-neutral situations. So I think the Titans are going to pass the ball a ton more, and I think where in the past it's been a play-action-based system, I think now we're going to see more West Coast elements. We're going to see more quick timing. We're going to see more rhythm passing, kind of three-step drop, get the ball out quick on an out route to the sideline on early downs. Like, they're already talking about throwing the ball a lot more on early downs. And I think one of the big things that Will Levis needs to improve on is getting the ball out to the running back. Again, he was wanting to drive the ball down the field last year because of the situation the Tennessee Titans offense was in. If they dump it off to a running back on, you know, a second and 12, they may get six, and then they got a third and six. So Levis was trying to drive the ball down the field. I think in this system, he's going to be encouraged to dump it off quick to the running backs, get the ball out of his hands quicker. That helps the offensive line as well, as they kind of improve and they're young. So I think we're going to see just much more passing. We're going to see definitely more three wide receiver sets. You look at Brian Callahan. So Brian Callahan wasn't the offense, or wasn't the play caller for the Bengals, but he was the offensive architect. He built that offense from the ground up, and he did a great job of adjusting it throughout the season. The Bengals have gone from a, you know, under center run team to now we run more out of shotgun. He just really has an ability to adapt his system to what the team wants to do. So I think early on we're going to see a ton of three wide receiver sets. They're going to be looking to throw the ball. But with Bill Callahan, Brian Callahan's dad, being added, they're basically giving the run game coordination to Bill Callahan and allowing him to do that, which I think will lead to a balanced run attack, where the Titans previously were mostly zone-based team, outside zone, mid zone, inside zone. With Derrick Henry, I think they're going to be much more multiple in the run game this year, mixing end zone runs with power runs where you would have a puller and some down blocks, things like that. So I think we're going to see a lot more variety from the Tennessee Titans offense than we saw under Derrick Henry. And I don't blame them for what they did under Derrick Henry. That was the best use of the offensive talent that they had. But I think now the Titans offense just needs to evolve a little bit. And with Tony Pollard, I think him having a similar skill set to Tajay Spears, rather than the difference between him and Derrick Henry, will allow the Titans to be less predictable on offense, and it won't be so clear what you need to do to stop them.
Tyler Rowland from Locked On Titans on the Western Hotline. And then on the – you got something to sell?
Can I, let me ask a question on the offense real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Treylon Burks, what's his future in Tennessee?
I would say his future is what
maybe
he
there is
will
none.
Be on next. You know, I just simply, I'm not a believer in watching him after a few years. I think he has balance issues that don't allow him to be a very good route runner. And even when he makes these catches down the field, he had an injury in Minnesota preseason last year where he caught the ball in the end zone on a deep route, but just couldn't like keep his balance. You know, he reminds me of like a baby deer, you know, trying to figure out, oh, my legs are this long, can I move this fast? He just doesn't seem to have strong footing. And I personally, in my experience, covering him the last few years, I don't think he's necessarily a super hard worker off the field. I think he's a guy who kind of has skated by most of his football career. I'm bigger and stronger and faster, and I don't got to work harder than you guys. And that doesn't work in the NFL anymore. So when you don't combine an elite work ethic with, you know, a lack of route running, a lack of balance, it's just hard for him to be a consistent player. I think they're going to use him as a gadget player this year as their wide receiver four. And I got to be honest, I don't expect him to be with Tennessee more than the next 2 years. I was hoping that they would look to trade him, and maybe that's something they do next offseason. But at this point, I don't think they'd get anything good enough in return. There's no reason to do it at this point. Just keep it for depth purposes. But I just don't think he's ever going to blossom into a first-round caliber wide receiver, and guys like that typically don't get a second contract.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if they like would move him for like a day three pick in That's training camp or something. Sal, remember when the Bills traded for Corey Coleman during a training camp? Like kind of a failed first-round receiver.
Training camp, you know, injury in the preseason.
Yeah.
They have him there, and they could make that move. I think that would still make sense. But it does beg the question, is – getting rid of your former first-round wide receiver who's good depth on your team, is that worth a fifth, sixth-round pick? I don't know if that would even make sense for them. So we'll see how it plays out, but just add it to a long list of first-round picks for the Titans that don't seem like they're going to pan out.
Yeah. And then lastly for me, Tyler, on the defense, they add L'Jarius Sneed. I mean, that's where we got to start, right, with the defensive unit?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, that's the big addition. He's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, and I think his play style is what's more important than his talent level, because it tells you what the Titans want to do. They hired Denard Wilson, who has been the passing game coordinator for the Eagles in 2022, number one pass defense, the Ravens last year, number one pass defense. So he's a guy who is a specialist at stopping the pass, which has been a big issue in Tennessee for the last few years. But it's not just stopping the pass, it's press coverage. The Titans want to get in your face. Denard Wilson's talked about his influence in Todd Bowles and Greg Williams, these super pressure, intense defenses that want to send blitzers and get in your face and do all that. So I think the Titans are going to play a very aggressive style of defense with a ton of press coverage and faking blitzers, sim pressures where you're, you know, acting like you're bringing your front four, but you're bringing your slot corner and dropping a D end. I think they're going to do a lot of that stuff, and it should be interesting to watch. That might be another thing where there takes some time to get into it, but I think the Titans could have a much improved pass defense going into the year.
Tyler Rowling from Locked On Titans. Sal, you got anything else?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. Vrabel, right? Hi. Let me ask you this, Tyler. Vrabel now, it kind of seemed like he was going to be the guy that got a job right away. He didn't.
Right.
And then he goes to Cleveland to be a like kind of on the staff to help, right? Consult, whatever his job is there. Like, how are you kind of absorbing that? How are Titans fans kind of absorbing that arc of Mike Vrabel this year? Is it just, hey, I want to take a year away? I mean, if that were the case, why did he go to any team, I guess?
Right.
Yeah. I think that it does create a lot of questions. I said all along at the end of the season last year when I started pushing for Mike Vrabel to be fired that Mike Vrabel is a good football coach. If anybody's out there saying he's not a good football coach, they're lying. But that doesn't mean he's the right football coach for where the Titans are at as a young team and a young roster. I thought Mike Vrabel would have made a ton of sense for the Atlanta Falcons or the Los Angeles Chargers. You know, a team that has a lot of veteran talent that's ready to win right now that just needs an adult in the room to steer the ship. I was a little surprised he didn't get more interviews. He didn't get more action, you know. But I think the reality is these owners in the NFL talk. And Mike Vrabel really used his power and threw his weight around in Tennessee, and he rubbed people the wrong way with his brash personality. I think that, you know, while he has a lot of redeeming factors as a coach, dealing with somebody like that all the time can wear on you. We all have met people who are very harsh and critical, and, you know, it's not that those people aren't good at their jobs, but it just makes it tougher to operate day to day when you're dealing with somebody like that. So I think that did hurt Mike Vrabel here, and I think that he would have got a coaching job right away if maybe that wasn't part of the problem with him. We've seen his former players talk about that. Taylor Lewan's talked about it a ton in a jovial way. You know, he's not like complaining about it, but, you know, some of those stories about, you know, we're paying you this, what the bleep are you doing out there? You know, he's just a rough around the edges guy. And with the arcade, I mean, 3 out of his 6 years in Tennessee, they scored 27th or less in the NFL in points. So he just isn't a modern style coach in the way he wants to play football. So even though he's a good coach and a good motivator and gets the most out of his guys, he's tough to deal with. and he's not super modern like some of these offensive coaches we see. And I do think it hurt him, and I don't think he wanted to take a year off. I think that spin, I think the story about, oh, they were intimidated by my size, I think that spin from his camp trying to make it look less bad that he didn't get one of these jobs, I don't think he expected to not get a job, and that's why I think he's staying in football and not taking the break that people think, because he doesn't want a break. He wants to coach. He wants to get back in right away. And I think he would tell you, if he was honest, that he was a little shocked he didn't get more run.
Tyler Rowling, Locked On Titans, excuse me, at Tic Tac Titans, if you want to follow him on Twitter. Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk soon.
Yep, thanks, Alan Joe. Have a good day.
You too. 803-0550 is the phone number. Before we hit a break, I want to squeeze in Anthony in Tampa, if he's still there, because Anthony's been holding patiently on hold. We were getting in really into the weeds. Hawker's failure last week. Anthony in Tampa. What's up, Anthony?
Hello, gentlemen. Good morning. Listen to you guys.
Morning.
Long time. Born in,
thank you.
Born and raised, first generation American. My parents were both from Argentina.
Okay.
And I grew up half and half Argentina and Buffalo, traveling a lot. And I always thought in my mind, seeing schools here in the States, all the organization, the scholastics of sports, and you travel to these other countries, South America, Colombia, Brazil, anywhere, that doesn't exist. And in my mind, I'm like, USA has to catch up sometime. They really do. And it just has never happened. I don't understand how or why.
Yeah.
Clubs in Argentina, kids don't play organized soccer. They just play on the ground, play in the park, play in the street. And then once they get good enough, sorry guys, I just got done running.
Yeah, no, you're good.
kids just, they just play. They just play, they just play. I remember when I went back when I was, I don't know, late 20s, and I'm like, my brother-in-law at the time said, bring your cleats, we're going to play, blah, blah, blah. And they're playing in a park, and the grass is like the goal, one goal post is like crooked, the other one's not even there. They're playing on anthills and rocks, and the kids show up to play, and one kid, you know, between brothers, they're sharing a pair of shoes. And I'm like an American, take my soccer bag with me. I have shoes for hard turf, to mud, to cleats. I have probably like five, I was never so embarrassed to be there with these kids that were like sharing shoes. Next day I had a chance, I went out and bought everybody shoes, but these kids, I don't know why. I don't know why USA hasn't caught up, and it drives me crazy. I used to tell my brother-in-laws all the time from Argentina, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's just crazy with the organizations we have, the money we have, that it just it hasn't happened yet. And I've been waiting for it for like 30, 40 years now, and it just hasn't happened.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks, Anthony, for the call. Appreciate it. Maybe, no, it'll, I was going to say maybe it'll never happen, but that's just the being down in the dumps because they just got embarrassed on home soil, by the way, for a national tournament. Stat on that I pointed out last week, this tournament they failed in, it's even beyond other failures before. They have hosted, the United States has hosted 20 major soccer tournaments in their history. This is the first of any of those tournaments they didn't make it out of the group. So it is even beyond their past ones. Thanks for the call, though. Anthony, 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll reset our poll from earlier on, would you take Gabe Davis's career for Keon Coleman? I feel like most are siding with no on that right now, but it's not everybody. So we'll get into that a little bit more. Let's see what else we got. Oh, there's a new Duke villain that's dropped that I've got to inform you about if you haven't seen this. A new Duke villain that everybody, I guarantee, is going to grow to hate in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about. We got to get to that. So stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, it's WGR.
About 3 weeks ago, I saw some quotes from Jordan Love, the quarterback of the Packers, during minicamp saying, you know what? We don't have a number one receiver per se, like that alpha guy. And actually, I prefer it because we can align our receivers in all these different ways and use all these motions and condensed formations and all these things. And it's harder for the defense to have a beat on what we're doing.
Doug Farrar, we had a little bit of a conversation earlier about this. And
nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And the Packers are being held up as this blueprint. And I just wonder if it's too soon for that. You know, like, they're good. And they have this formula that's working, that worked last year especially, of young quarterback that took, you know, about a month to kind of really get his feet wet. But then, like, end of the season, he was dynamite. And there's a love fest about Jordan Love right now. And then the receivers that are around him, like, it's just a bunch of, like, good young guys. No one has established themselves as some elite player, but just a bunch of good ones. That, by the way, might not be forever. Like, I've seen takes on Jaden Reed, who was very good for them as a rookie, that, like, he had 700 yards last year and was the kind of the number two, but he might have really high upside. You just didn't see it yet because he was a rookie. So we'll see. Maybe in a year that we won't look at them the same way if somebody kind of goes bananas. How do you feel about them being kind of held up the way they are? Because it is, they've only won one playoff game. It's not like, you know, it's not like they're a cheat. They're the Chiefs.
I do believe there's been a bit of a rush here. I'm in line with you on that, which is they're getting a lot of love, a lot of love.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's because of Jordan Love, right? I mean, no pun intended. He just, the way he plays, his style, he's fun, and he just, bam, you know, really kind of burst on the scene, just this meteoric rise.
Mm-hmm.
There's a danger in that, right? I mean, when you have a really good stretch, it's a good stretch. It's not been prolonged yet. Now, but hey, the Josh Allen had that in, what, maybe 2020, and it just kept going. And look where we are now. So it's possible, but Yeah, I don't know. I'm not totally in. Now, Josh Jacobs is signing there. That was interesting for them. All right, we'll see where that goes.
Yep.
That was interesting.
That was after dumping Aaron Jones for nothing.
Yeah,
they signed Jacobs.
They basically traded, right? Like,
yeah.
Kind of like traded the one for the other. Not to the same team, but yeah. I'm also skeptical. But, I mean, come on. They're in the division with the Bears and the Vikings, too.
Yep. Well, ooh, are you not high on the Bears this year? They're going to be a trendy pick, I think, between now and the start.
No, I'm not, because I don't think. Right. I mean, I can't just think that Caleb Williams is going to walk in there and just start distributing the ball to all these guys, and they're going to be super good.
Yeah. I might get convinced. Like, I don't know that I would probably pick them to finish third in the division because I have too much respect for Detroit and Green Bay right now. But, man, that receiving core is so good. And he has been so built up as a quarterback prospect that it does feel like if a rookie is going to come in and dominate, like a la C.J. Stroud, that he might have the tools to do it. The only problem there that I've seen is they have a good defense, like defense too, but offensive line might still be a big problem there. And that can, I mean, that can kill you. If as a rookie, you can have as many good receivers as you want. If you can't get 2 seconds to throw the football, then good luck to you. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jeremy Fowler has a series that started yesterday. Executives, scouts, and coaches in the league ranking 11 positions over 11 days. Before I get into the two that have already been dropped, for the Bills, they're ranking the top, so how they do it is the top 10 at each position, and then there's like five honorable mentions, five, six, seven, kind of depends, and then there's an also receiving votes category. For the top 10, how many Bills are going to be top 10 in their position in this series, do you think?
Josh, obviously.
Josh, for sure. Yep.
What have they done so far? Running back? What else?
They've done running back and defensive tackle.
There's no Bills there, right?
So,
is
running
that
back.
There?
Running back was yesterday, and James Cook was in the honorable mention category.
Mm-hmm. He did not crack the top 10.
Yep, didn't crack the top 10. He was an honorable mention. Cook ranked second behind McCaffrey in explosive plays last year, won NFL offensive coach. He runs outside zone very well, putting foot in ground and getting upfield. And that's the write-up on him. And then defensive tackle today, Ed Oliver was in the others receiving votes category. So he didn't even get his own write-up, which... Mm-hmm. I want to bet right now between maybe this one ranking is going to be secondary to this, but Ed Oliver, I mean, PFF was very much like all year the Bills fans, the area they went after PFF was, why don't you respect Ed Oliver? Ed Oliver, like, grading stuff was like not near what I think people thought it should have been. I want to bet Bills fans think he's like the most underrated or disrespected player right now on the team, like league-wide. No,
I don't know about that.
It feels like he doesn't get much shine.
I agree that he is underrated.
Yeah, and it feels like he had a great season.
Here's the issue to me with, I don't have too much of a problem with him not being in the top 10.
Yeah,
the nature by which the Bills treat their defensive line, it's hard for a guy to be considered in the top 10 because he's not on the field enough to make all those plays.
It's so rotational, compared
correct
to other teams.
So I have no problem. I think talent-wise, you could argue he's in the top 10. So that's fine, if that's what it's based on. But I have no issue with him not being in the top 10. I do think he's underrated. I think there is one other player on the team that's more underrated and not getting the, you know those things
underrated
that come out on Twitter sometimes? They say, who's this player represent? It says production. And then recognition.
Yeah.
Production's really high, recognition's low, right?
I see that a lot.
Okay. It's not even production because of numbers. I think Taron Johnson might be the most underrated player at his position in the NFL.
Yeah, that's good. Ooh, they're only doing 11 positions, by the way. Are they not going to have... Will they include nickel corner with corner?
So I guess they won't include nickel corner.
Yeah, I guess. Are they going to do... I don't know what they're going to do for offensive line either. They'll probably just do guard and tackle and like mix the two together rather than
center,
do like separate. They'll do center, but they won't do like a right guard and a left guard. They'll probably do both.
Probably not. Look, I mean, if they... Look, Matt Milano's one of the best linebackers in the league. He probably doesn't get here because of the injury last year.
He might. Where did I see... This was a PFF ranking. PFF, Sam Monson, and a couple of their other top guys did like a collaborative ranking of different positions. I think they had Milano. They gave him the benefit of the doubt with the injury, and I think in their write-up it was like, we're assuming for this he's going to get back to form, but they had him as like the fourth best linebacker in football, even right now.
Okay.
But, right, like, I don't know if everyone's going to do that. There might be a lot of other areas where... you know, it's July, so you're going to see ranking stuff like this, content out there, you know, and Milano might get dropped off in some of these places because, you know, it was a major injury that he had, and how big are the question marks about, you know, what form he's going to be in when he comes back. If I'm not given enough respect to that, I feel like I've also been, like the PFF write-up, I feel like I've very much has been in, he'll be back. He'll be fine.
I think I've been on this for a while that I just think that they're slow playing it. I don't think there's anything wrong with him. Like, he's not having any sort of, you know, setback. They just don't want to rush him back. I mean, he's a veteran. He knows how to take care of his body. He's a guy that's been in the league a while. They're not concerned about that. I mean, I saw an article the other day that he was on like some like possible cut list.
What are we doing? It was a guy that writes for Bleacher Report. That I did see some people freaking out about that, but. You know, one guy at Bleacher Report wrote that. I wasn't getting too, you know, held up over that because I haven't seen anyone in the world make that suggestion anywhere else because it would be insane. I don't even think they save money. They would cost themselves money.
Those two guys together, they're going to be. That's one of the things I'm most excited for. If Matt Milano truly is,
like
healthy. I mean, they're going to be so good with those two, him and Bernard together. Well, I think they could be
especially
so good together.
Like, don't. You can maybe answer receiver for this too, but what position cost them their season? Like, again, there could be a couple, but I might put linebacker right at the top of the list. Like, linebacker in the Chief game kind of caused their season to end. It was completely due to injury, though. Like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with their linebackers. They had to call AJ Klein away from his trip to Disneyland, and he had to come play football for them and try to cover Travis Kelce. So, like, they were in a really tough spot. But, I don't know, they might win that game if Bernard and Milano are healthy, even with all the problems they had on offense at receiver and the game plan they had and the fake punt. I don't know. Like, Bernard and Milano, in the little time we got to see them together, looked awesome. So, I'm very excited about that group, too. And that's of course, you know, with the if Milano's in there. And that's probably it. You think Taron Johnson, do we think Dawkins could sneak into the offensive tackle list?
Maybe. Yeah, he might be able to. I think so. A guy who won't make it, but is also very underrated from the season he had last year. Although I want to hold back on, like, oh my God, this guy is amazing, because I want to see him back it up again and stay healthy, is Christian Benford. Now, yeah. I'm not predicting he should be or telling you he should be in the honorable mention. I just think he's underrated around the league. I think Christian Benford is good.
He might be my answer for that. You just ask, like, the next time someone tweets out that picture of production, the bar's really high and recognition really low, I bet Christian Benford's going to be my answer. Like, I think he is. There were some metrics last year, like separation prevented, I think was one of them, where he was like top five in the league next to Sauce Gardner. Like, I don't know if he's getting, I don't know if he's not ever maybe going to get the recognition. I don't know how many turnovers he's going to cause. Although he had one in week 18, right? Division on the line, first drive against Miami. So it's not like he never does it. But yeah, Benford for me, like if he has a great season this year, I'm going to want to be his flag bearer. For a while, like this dude is an elite. I might not go that far, but this guy is a great corner in the NFL. If he has another big season piled on what he's done the last couple of years, and that's probably it. You know, no one else that I see. I'm looking at their depth chart. Yeah, that'll probably be it. Maybe Dawkins and maybe Taron Johnson, depending on what they do positionally there. 803-0550 is the phone number. I said I would update you on that poll from earlier. We talked Coleman and Gabe Davis. 66% now say that they would not take Coleman being as good as Gabe Davis. You want to hold out for more. Hold out for better. I think that's fair. I might answer yes. I would be very much on the fence here, but Sal made a good convincing argument earlier for like first pick of the second round, basically a first round pick. The athletic profile being what it is, you probably would want more. It's not a disaster if he's Gabe Davis, but you probably would want more. 803-0550 is the phone number. Duke villain that has dropped. Extendo Sports when we come back. There's a guy going to Duke, a kid going to Duke, that did something pretty incredible yesterday, and I've seen social media kind of freaking out about it. That and more when we come back. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, this is WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, new potential Duke villain has dropped. His name is Cooper Flagg. See what he did yesterday, Sal?
Other than dominate? No.
He went off on Team USA.
Yes, I know.
He's 17-year-old Duke commit. I mean,
he's really good.
So Team USA basketball is having their camp in Vegas, and they're playing like college kids to train. And there's just clips of this kid, like three-pointer in Anthony Davis's face, blocks LeBron from behind on a layup, dunks over Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat, hits another three. I mean, yeah, and he's going to Duke. So, who couldn't love another Duke villain, though? Gotta have a little bit of hate in sports. What else is going on? We're going to the Porter Cup Media Day today.
Oh, yeah, Porter Cup Media Day today. Media Day. And we're going to play some golf.
Yep, Porter Cup a little bit later on. Niagara Falls Country Club.
It's a really great course.
Yep. I've only been the one time, but the thing I remember about it was all the views from like the lake. And even I think there's a hole where you can kind of see Toronto across the water if it's a clear day. Which is always cool. So that's today. We'll be there. Porter Cup a little later this week. Cartoon Network.
You were going to talk about this.
Rumored to be shutting down. I guess there's something about like the animation company that they work with is cutting like all their jobs or something. So there are rumors that this might be the end for Cartoon Network, which I watched so much of growing up. Was Cartoon Network Max at all?
He has never been into Cartoon Network. Okay. We've watched cartoons when he was growing up, Peppa Pig, you know, whatever these were on.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Vocabulary. Did you ever watch Vocabulary?
Vocabulary,
he's like
no.
It's Vocabulary. Wait, what is he? What kind of bird is he? Vocabulary is a... Okay, what is it? I got to think of the
Where is
of...
it on streaming platforms? Is it a newer one?
Parrot. He's a parrot. Yeah.
Okay.
And you learn vocabulary. His name is Larry. Vocabulary. You learn vocabulary through the parrot.
Okay.
When he was a baby, we watched Vocabulary. And then he watched Peppa Pig and Paw Patrol and all that. But I have no idea. Was that Cartoon Network, like Nickelodeon, whatever? They're all different.
I don't know. Because I'm going to be done watching Cartoon Network probably when? 2004?
As the most recent viewer of Cartoon Network, I can confirm that none of the shows Sal just brought up were on Cartoon Network.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. There you go. That's fine. That's my point.
I grew up in like the peak Cartoon Network generation.
Cartoon Network like, during its heyday with, you know, Johnny Bravo, Johnny Bravo, who was just like an Elvis impersonator that I don't even remember what the concept of the show was. All I know is he talked like Elvis.
Codename Kids Next Door, I think you were about to just say.
Yep.
That show was incredible.
Ed Nettie.
Yep.
Was always hilarious. What else? You know what? I would dabble with the Powerpuff Girls. It's like a superhero show, kind of.
Wait.
What? What's wrong with that?
No. I just...
Sugar, spice, and everything nice.
I just can't. I don't know.
Great theme song, too.
I guess.
You didn't watch the Powerpuff Girls?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. It just...
Zach's nodding yes. It was a good show.
What? No.
It was a good show.
I don't think it was a good show.
It was a good... I will give it good show. I'm going to put a poll up. Was Powerpuff Girls a good show? I think it was.
Dexter's Laboratory?
Dexter's Lab was good, too. Oh, see, I'm gonna miss this. I've not seen any of these shows in 15 years.
Was Johnny Test too old for you or too new?
That's too new for me. Yeah, that's after my time. By the time I hit... Like, I started watching SportsCenter on a regular basis probably when I was, like, 8. So, like, my brothers, I had two little brothers, they would watch cartoons, and I would then watch it in passing. But, like, but I would say by the time I was 8, I was going to ESPN.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, like, I don't exactly know how young I was, but you guys would never know some of these. You might have heard them before. The Jetsons.
Yeah, of course.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Mm-hmm.
Casper the Friendly Ghost, like those were mine growing up.
The Jetsons was on Cartoon Network, like I'm sure, like syndication. But like when I was growing up, Jetsons and Flintstones were on Cartoon Network.
Mm-hmm. Looney Tunes too, kind
and of. Looney Tunes.
Well, that was more Boomerang though, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had like their isn't that like affiliated though? I think they maybe like
at first
they created Boomerang as like a classic cartoon show.
Well, I think Boomerang was a thing, and then Cartoon Network bought it. I think that's how it went.
That
I'm
might be
sure.
right. Last one that I also Teen Titans was also a great one. Robin finally got to be the main character of something. And it was good. So hopefully these rumors are not true because I love Cartoon Network. All right. That's going to do it for us. Extra Point Show is on the way next. Me and Sal are going to go play some golf, which today's a good day to get it out of the way if you're trying to do it because the next 2 days we're getting hit with the remnants of Hurricane. Is it Hurricane Bevel? Barrel? Hurricane Barrel?
Barrel.
Okay.
Barrel.
So we're going to get a lot of weather in the next 2 days. Washouts, probably.
Yeah. I think that's going to happen, yeah.
Big soccer day. We've done a lot. More soccer today, I think, we've ever done. Euro, France, and Spain this afternoon, which will be good. And then Canada, Argentina. That might be a blowout. But, hey, Canada's Cinderella story could continue in the Copa America tournament. So that's at 8 o'clock tonight. All right, that's it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Me and Sal will. Stay tuned for the Extra Point Show. That's on the way next with Zach and Josh here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Cartoon Network, I can confirm that none of the shows Sal just brought up were on Cartoon Network.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. There you go. That's fine. That's my point.
I grew up in like the peak Cartoon Network generation.
Cartoon Network during its heyday with, you know, Johnny Bravo, who was just like an Elvis impersonator that I don't even remember what the concept of the show was. All I know is he talked like Elvis.
Codename Kids Next Door, I think you were about to just say.
Yeah.
That show was incredible.
Ed and Eddie.
Yep.
Was always hilarious. What else? I would dabble with the Powerpuff Girls. It's like a superhero show, kind of.
Wait.
What's wrong with that?
No. I just...
Sugar, spice, and everything nice.
I just can't. I don't know.
Great theme song, too.
I guess.
You didn't watch the Powerpuff Girls?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. It just...
Zach's nodding yes. It was a good show.
What? No.
It was a good show.
I don't think it was a good show.
It was a good... It was. I will give it good show. I'm going to put a poll up. Was Powerpuff Girls a good show? I think it was.
How about Dexter's Laboratory?
Dexter's Lab was good, too. Oh, see, I'm gonna miss this. I've not seen any of these shows in 15 years.
Was Johnny Test too old for your... Or too new?
That's too new for me. Yeah, that's okay. After my time. By the time I hit... Like, I started watching SportsCenter on a regular basis probably when I was, like, 8. So... Like, my brothers, I had two little brothers, they would watch cartoons, and I would then watch it in passing. But, like, but I would say by the time I was 8, I was going to ESPN.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, like, I don't exactly know how young I was, but you guys would never know some of these. You might have heard them before. The Jetsons.
Yeah, of course.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Mm-hmm.
Casper the Friendly Ghost, like those were mine growing up.
The Jetsons was on Cartoon Network, like I'm sure, like syndication. But like when I was growing up, Jetsons and Flintstones were on Cartoon Network.
Mm-hmm. Looney Tunes too, kind
and Looney Tunes.
Well, that was more Boomerang though, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had like their... Isn't that like affiliated though? I think they maybe like
at first
they created Boomerang as like a classic cartoon show.
Well, I think Boomerang was a thing, and then Cartoon Network bought it. I think that's how it went.
That might be right. Last one that I also, Teen Titans was also a great one. Robin finally got to be the main character of something, and it was good. So hopefully these rumors are not true, because I love Cartoon Network. All right, it's gonna do it for us. Extra Point Show is on the way next. Me and Sal are gonna go play some golf, which today's a good day to get it out of the way if you're trying to do it, because the next 2 days we're getting hit with the remnants of Hurricane... Is it Hurricane Bevel? Barrel? Hurricane Barrel?
Barrel.
Okay.
Barrel.
So we're going to get a lot of weather in the next 2 days. Washouts, probably.
Yeah. I think that's going to happen, yeah.
Big soccer day. We've done a lot of... More soccer today, I think, we've ever done. Euro, France, and Spain this afternoon, which will be good. And then Canada, Argentina. That might be a blowout, but hey, Canada's Cinderella story could continue in the Copa America tournament. So that's at 8 o'clock tonight. All right, that's it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Me and Sal will. Stay tuned for the Extra Point Show. That's on the way next with Zach and Josh here on WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.